It is nearly noon and time for the KMXT Midday News. Coming up on the Midday News, Kodiak Island Borough COVID-19 count has gone up. The Olds River Inn brews beer. Extreme weather is on the way here in Kodiak. More bear trouble in Alaska's national parks. The Denali Borough has closed its offices and classrooms due to COVID-19 cases. ...50 degrees presently here in beautiful downtown Kodiak. Pretty nice out there right now, but don't expect that to continue. We're looking for severe weather, a lot of rain tonight. As many as 2 inches of rain overnight tonight. The wind is going to increase and gust as high as 65 miles per hour right here in town tonight. And we'll learn what that means for mariners offshore as well. But first, news headlines from NPR.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden will meet tonight for the first presidential debate of 2020. NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben reports the race has been remarkably stable in the run-up to the debate.
Amid major news events surrounding the coronavirus pandemic, police brutality protests, and the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Joe Biden's lead in national polls has changed little in recent months. Currently, he is 6 points ahead of Trump, according to the Real Clear Politics polling average. One topic that's sure to come up is President Trump's taxes. The New York Times has reported that Trump paid only $750 in federal income taxes last year. Ahead of the debate, Biden and his running mate, Kamala Harris, released their 2019 tax returns. Biden's return shows that he and his wife paid nearly $300,000 in federal income taxes last year. Meanwhile, a release from the Trump campaign suggests that the president plans to go after Biden on a range of topics, including the Obama administration's economic record. Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR News.
Northern California is under a state of emergency. Thousands of acres of land, as well as many homes and businesses on them, are on fire. Tens of thousands of people are now evacuees, among them Jan Zakin. A burning car blocked her escape route, but she was rescued.
We left with nothing. I mean, just literally with nothing. We're so lucky to be alive.
So far this year, fires have burned nearly 4 million acres across California. New York City will fine people who are not wearing masks in public. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports the move comes amid outbreaks in small pockets of the city.
New York has kept its virus numbers low since the pandemic devastated the city in the spring. Now the numbers are rising in a few Orthodox Jewish neighborhoods where mask use and social distancing has been inconsistent. Mayor Bill de Blasio said the city has engaged with those communities and hopes to see quick improvements. Otherwise, businesses and schools there may have to close.
Those are all on the table. None we want to do, but all on the table if we don't see enough progress quickly enough.
In-person schooling for hundreds of thousands of New York students began today, and the city's plan says schools must shut if infections hit a weekly average of 3%. De Blasio said that number has now reached 1.38%. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, New York.
The return to classrooms, sports, and other activities appears to be driving the increase in coronavirus cases among America's children. The American Academy of Pediatrics is out with a new report that reveals children make up 10% of all coronavirus cases in this country. That's up from 2% in April. Doctors around the globe say without a tried and true vaccine, the best weapon virtually everyone has against getting infected or infecting someone else when out and about is to socially distance, wash your hands, and wear a mask. This is NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
The Kodiak Island Borough COVID-19 count has risen to 76, with two new cases reported today. The Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization says both are connected. The first case involves someone from Kodiak and is travel-related. The second person is a close contact of the first. Both have been isolated. The Department of Public Health has also identified their contacts and remained in touch with those people to ensure self-isolation and care. Three cases are now considered active locally. It was a summer that the Olds River Inn hopes will never repeat. Like many Kodiak businesses, the coronavirus pandemic took a big bite out of its customer base. Tourists stayed home, the Coast Guard barred its members from Kodiak eating and drinking establishments, and while locals helped keep the inn afloat, the 40-minute drive from Kodiak to Bisag Shack didn't help, at least not for weekday business. But Fred Barber wonders if it was a taste for his beer made in the inn's basement brewery that may have saved the day.
Still don't make enough beer. I mean, I run out all the time because people like my beers.
One of the inn's most popular brews is called Rocket India Pale Ale, named after the Kodiak Pacific Spaceport right up the road. Soon there will be more of that. Barber just expanded his brewery. He added a unitank, a giant gleaming enclosed metal kettle that sits on a stand that makes it about as tall as Barber is.
You can ferment in it, and you can carbonate and finish your beer in the same unit, so it basically tripled my capacity.
Although the added capacity for his brewery came too late for sales this summer, Barber says he's ready for next year.
But I would like to have enough beer to sell out of my store and to never run out in my restaurant.
Barber says he's ready to toast an end to a difficult summer season with reduced hours that left him with only 25 to 40% of his normal business. Kodiak was buffeted by wind and rain over the weekend after a wet week, which included the second rainiest day in the last 10 years. But if you were hoping for better weather, you might have to wait a little while longer. Dylan Simard has this story.
With sustained winds well in excess of 40 miles per hour and seas in the ballpark of 20 feet, the weather will be taking a turn for the worse on Tuesday and Thursday nights. Dr. Martin Stufa, the state climatologist, says there are two powerful weather systems responsible.
You know, we had a low-pressure system which intensified and moved northward into the Gulf of Alaska, causing pretty extreme wind speeds. We measured yesterday morning at the Kodiak Airport in the early morning of 36 knots, gusting to 48 knots. So that's pretty extreme high wind speeds. And again, during this week, looking at different weather models, they agree pretty much this low pressure system development continues. Another low pressure system moves into the Gulf, and there will be sustained strong winds tomorrow afternoon, Tuesday. Tomorrow afternoon, the winds are forecasted again at over 40 knots and gusting maybe even up to 50 knots. So pretty extreme winds.
Stufa says that wind speeds such as this are unusually intense.
You know, wind speeds in excess of 40 knots are not very often. I just looked at statistics, like for during the former period, 71 to 2000, we had a maximum recorded wind speed of 54 miles per hour. That's corresponds to 47 knots. So that was the previous record from 71 to 2000. So what we saw yesterday with gusts to 48 knots, that's very extreme.
Stufa says that while the rainfall will likely not reach the record-breaking heights of last Tuesday, we will still have precipitation throughout most of the week.
With the winds, of course, in the Gulf of Alaska coastal areas, extreme wave actions, so if possible, avoid any shipping or don't be on near the coast at low levels. And I would very much warn the public to stay as good as possible within safe areas, within houses.
As always, in storm conditions, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommend having non-perishable food on hand, as well as essential medications. In Kodiak, I'm Dylan Simard.
The Denali Borough closed its offices to walk-in business and its classrooms to in-school instruction Monday after 5 cases of COVID-19 in the borough were reported. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Mayor Clay Walker says local officials decided to restrict public access to Denali Borough and school district offices and classrooms for at least 1 week after an uptick in cases last week nearly doubled the number of reported COVID cases in the borough from 6 to 11.
That was the biggest spike that we had seen thus far in the 7 months that we've been dealing with, reacting to, and trying to minimize the spread of COVID here.
The test results prompted school district officials to transition to high-risk level precautions, mainly reverting to teaching students online instead of in the classroom. Walker says borough offices remain open, but he says residents will have to pick up the phone or go online to get help.
Folks can call, folks can email, folks can set up an appointment for service.
Meanwhile, the borough and school district will maintain such precautions as social distancing, wearing face masks, and frequent hand washing and home and workplace cleaning. The mayor said Monday the Denali borough's been lucky so far with the coronavirus, and he says it remains one of the least COVID-impacted areas in Alaska.
We were one of the last counties in the entire country to not have both a confirmed case and to not have any community transmission at this point, or as of last week, is pretty incredible, actually.
Walker says the borough's stepped up testing since getting last week's results, that 4 residents and 1 non-resident had tested positive. He says local public health officials are closely tracking those test results, in part to determine whether they reveal any cases of community spread. Those are cases for which efforts like contact tracing are unable to establish where or from whom a COVID victim contracted the disease.
It's possible through contact tracing that it could be determined that community transmission still isn't happening here, that these cases maybe did originate from outside the borough, and we can still safely say that we've had no community transmission here.
Borough officials believe many, if not most, local COVID cases come from people who are from elsewhere, outside of the borough. Walker says if further testing and other analysis indicate community spread isn't occurring locally, and if last week's uptick flattens out, the Borough Health Level Advisory Committee may consider reverting to lower risk precautions in its weekly meeting. The next is scheduled for this Friday. Reporting from Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.
The National Park Service has euthanized a grizzly bear that repeatedly broke into buildings in the Kantishna Wonder Lake area at the end of the road into Denali National Park. Park spokesperson G.W. Hitchcock says the young male grizzly first started getting into structures last fall.
Breaking into sheds, some of the lodges out in Kantishna, some of the cabins. It began to associate that area with food and just became very clever about trying to get into spaces.
Hitchcock says it's unclear what initially attracted the animal to the area.
We don't feel that anyone was doing improper food storage or anything.
Hitchcock says the bear returned last spring and resumed breaking into structures in search of food, prompting the Park Service to deploy motion-activated cameras and set up a culvert trap. He says the bear was not captured until September 24th, and biologists put the animal down because it had established a pattern of trying to find unnatural food.
This is not the kind of action that our staff who get into wildlife biology, they don't get into this line of work to euthanize animals. So it's a very difficult decision for them, one that they don't make lightly. It happens very rarely in the park.
Hitchcock says in park records dating back to the 1980s, it's only the third time which a bear had become accustomed to finding human food and had to be euthanized. He says the pandemic caused a downturn in park visitation and other activity this summer and likely contributed to the bear's persistent presence. A park release says several bears, particularly in the Savage River area, closer to the park entrance, were successfully hazed from places where they could get into human food or interact with the public. Mushers along the Yukon River are struggling to feed their dogs because of weak king and chum salmon runs this year. KYUK's Christy Schallenberger talked with two Yukon mushers about their worries on how they're going to feed their kennels.
Gee, I wonder if I counted myself, maybe nine. I think nine. After this is all over, I know it won't be nine.
Pat Moore is one of nine mushers who lives in the Yukon River village of Tanana. He has about 20 dogs in his yard and was trying to sell most of them when the coronavirus pandemic shut interstate travel down in March.
I've got no market in the lower 48, and nobody in Alaska wants to take a chance on them because they don't know when the next race is going to be.
It takes about 4,000 salmon to feed all the dogs in Moore's dog yard. He mixes it up a little with dry food and red meat, but mostly salmon fills his dogs' bellies. But the weak King and Chum salmon runs this year compelled the State Department of Fish and Game to halt subsistence fishing entirely in some parts of the Yukon River, leaving many mushers, like Moore, without their main source of dog food. Another one of those mushers is Gerald Alexander in Fort Yukon. He says he is feeding his dogs mostly dry food, which is expensive to ship to Alaska bush communities off the road system.
And it costs so much here for a bag of Friskies, 50 a pound, actually it's 33 pounds for almost $60 a bag.
Friskies is a brand of dry dog food. Alexander, who is also on the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission, reached out to its director for help. That director, Stephanie Quinn Davidson, says Yukon River communities rely on two types of salmon for their food, the kings and the chums. Those communities have turned more to chum salmon over the years as king salmon runs have dwindled. But
now the fall chum didn't come in at all, and there's been no fishing.
Davidson says these are the lowest harvest numbers in a long time.
We have a situation where subsistence harvests are probably the lowest they've been in two decades.
Davidson pleaded for help for the mushers through Twitter earlier this month.
So I've been really surprised at the response that we've gotten. Now I've had professional Iditarod mushers reach out to me and say, we want to help you. You know, we'll put you in touch with the dog food companies that we use.
But so far, only one dog food company is actively figuring out how to ship dog food to Yukon River mushers. Davidson is hoping for more. Back in Tanana, musher Pat Moore says the dog food shortage could kill mushing altogether in that community.
A lot of us are kind of long in the tooth. This is going to be the final nail in the coffin, I think.
Moore says he has enough food to make it through December, 3 months away. But soon, he and other mushers will have to make tough choices about the future of their dogs. For KYUK News, I'm Christy Schallenberger.
The local news is supported in part by Ardinger's Fine Furnishings, home of the Tempur-Pedic Ergo Collection and the Tempur-Pedic Breeze, made especially for those who sleep hot. The Breeze cushions and supports you while channeling excess heat away from the mattress. Tempur-Pedic's Ergo Base allows you to move the bed into multiple ergonomic positions for sleeping or relaxing. 486-5554.
And by Arctic Physical Therapy Services, Incorporated. Professional rehabilitation for all your physical therapy needs. We repair the world's most complex machine. 813 Mill Bay Road, 486-4499.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Got questions for the U.S. Senate fisheries debate? Tomorrow's the deadline. More after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute wants industry members to help guide programs that increase the value of Alaska's seafood. Learn more and apply at alaskaseafood.org.
Questions and topics are being solicited for Kodiak's October 10th debate, which is the first to feature the candidates for U.S. Senate.
And it's going to be an hour and a half long debate between Senator Sullivan and Dr. Algroth.
Sarah Phillips is director of the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce, which has been hosting debates for Alaska governor and congressional candidates since 1999.
They are not going to be in the same room debating, but they are going to be debating over Zoom. So digitally, they are together in the same spot. You'll see both their faces at the same time.
The debate format will be lively. The moderator is well-known radio and TV host Rhonda McBride.
The moderator will ask some questions, give the candidates an opportunity to respond, and then we'll have segments where the candidates themselves post questions to one another and have the opportunity to respond.
All questions are limited to Alaska's seafood industry, which covers a lot of water, transportation, trade, science and research, markets, and much more. The deadline to submit questions is coming up fast.
We just need to have those questions submitted to us at chamber@kodiak.org. So the deadline is coming up fast. We need them by 5 p.m. September 30th.
Phillips says the fisheries debate will be aired live via several platforms.
Make it over to kodiakchamber.org. You're going to be able to see that in real time through our website. Or if you're a Facebook sort of a user or YouTube, you can find either our Chamber of Commerce pages.
It also will be broadcast live on public radio stations across the state. To recap, questions for the U.S. Senate candidates debate are due to the Kodiak Chamber by end of day tomorrow. The debate kicks off at 5 p.m. on Saturday, October 10th. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch. Other things besides trash attract bears into town. Here are tips to keep them away. Freeze stinky garbage and fish wastes until garbage day. Bring bird feeders inside until winter. Keep your barbecue grills clean and inside if possible. Smokers too. Don't leave smelly fish tackle around and bring in uneaten pet food. Bears like dog food better than dogs do. Be bear aware and be a Kodiak trash buster.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement number 42, date issued 10 a.m. on September 28th. There will be a 72-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Tuesday, September 29th, to 6 p.m. Friday, October 2nd, in the following areas. In the Outer Iqaluk section of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Afognak District, except for the Outer Katoy Bay and Iqaluk Bay sections remain open until further notice, and the Inner Katoy Bay section remains closed. The Mainland District, the Sheratine Bay, Anton Larsen Bay, Kujuyak Bay, Terror Bay, Inner Uganic Bay, Spiridon Bay, Zacher Bay, and Uyak Bay sections of the Northwest Kodiak District, the Eastside Kodiak District, and the Northeast Kodiak District. As previously announced, following areas remain open until further notice: the Outer Katoy Bay and Iqaluk Bay sections of the Afognak District, the Outer Karluk section of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Central and North Cape sections of the Northwest Kodiak District, and the Humpy Dead Man, Cape Alatak, Alatak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alatak District. Until further notice, in that portion of the Northwest and Southwest Kodiak District, south of the latitude of Cape Kuliuk, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse seine gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak area. Salmon statistical chart and detailed in commercial salmon fishing regulations and statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour record of phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Thank you, Mr. Department of Fish and Game. Welcome to your Tuesday edition of your Island Messenger. It is the 29th day of September. The year is 2020. First, a quick program note. Coming right up at 12:30, Talk of the Rock. Schools have been open in Kodiak since early September. Today, we'll hear how things are going as Maggie talks with School Superintendent Dr. Larry Ledoux, High School Principal Neil Hecht, East Elementary Principal Angela Haitala, and Assistant Superintendent of Schools Beth Cole. Tune in right after this for today's edition of Talk of the Rock at 12:30. Also tonight at 5, you can hear the presidential debate right here on the radio live, and the important candidates will be sounding off at 7 p.m. for the Borough Assembly Candidate Forum, also brought to you by Kodiak Daily Mirror and the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce. Find out what issues are important to the candidates running for the assembly. See what they think in regard to fiscal matters, social matters, and educational matters in the borough. Again, that's 7 o'clock right here on KMXT. Well, the big news is the weather coming up. And here's your synopsis for you mariners for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A front will move into the southern Gulf Tuesday morning. That was this morning. Strengthening along the coast by Tuesday evening. It will diminish onshore Wednesday morning as the associated low reaches 200 nautical miles southeast of Old Harbor and goes to 970 millibars. That low will move into Bristol Bay Thursday morning as the next low approaches the Gulf from the North Pacific. Resulting weather, it's a doozy. From Marmot Island to Sitkanak, right offshore here in Kodiak's east side, hurricane force winds tonight. That's a hurricane warning for tonight. Right now, east winds to 30 knots will become northeast to 50 knots this afternoon. Seas will build to 20 feet this afternoon. And for tonight, look for northeast winds to 65 knots, becoming east 35 after midnight. Seas building to 28 feet will subside to 20 feet after midnight. And for Wednesday, we're looking for east winds to 35 knots and seas to 19 feet. Seas to 21 feet through Friday. And on Saturday, they're talking about southeast winds at 30 knots and seas building to 25 feet east side offshore. Over in the Shelikof, we also have a hurricane force wind warning for tonight. Northeast winds at 25 knots right now. Will increase to 45 knots this afternoon and seas will build to 19 feet. For tonight, northeast winds to 65 knots and seas to 30 feet in the Shelikof. For Wednesday, look for northeast winds to 30 feet, seas subsiding to 14 feet. For Wednesday night, southeast 25 and seas to 9 feet. But on Thursday through Friday, they're calling for southeast winds to 45 knots in the Shelikof, seas to 11 feet. For inside waters, Chiniac and Marmot Bays, storm warning tonight for both of those places as well. East wind to 20 knots will become northeast 40 knots this afternoon in Chiniac and Marmot Bays. Seas will build to 14 feet in Chiniac Bay and to 18 feet in Marmot Bay. For tonight, look for northeast winds to 55 knots in Chiniac and Marmot Bays, turning to the east and going to 30 knots after midnight. But we're looking for seas to 23 feet in Chiniac Bay and seas to 23 feet as well in Marmot Bay tonight. So mariners, to have care. Well, let's see. Let's look at our local tides really quick. We do have a high tide coming up at 1:51 p.m. here on the east side. That's going to be a 7.9-foot tide. Your low tide this evening will be at 7:39 p.m., 1.6 feet. Over on the west side, you have a high tide coming up at 2:15 this afternoon, a 14.7-foot tide. And your low tide this evening will be at 8:16 p.m., a 1.6-foot tide. Currently 50 degrees. It's been 50 degrees for quite a while. We're looking for a lot of rain tonight here in Kodiak, as well as the heavy wind. So look for that as well. Mariners who have boats in the harbor, you're looking for rain and wind to account for tonight. We're looking for as many as 2 inches overnight. KMXT is excited to announce that Run the Rock 2020 is a go. Things will be a little different this year, but we'll still have all four races. That's a marathon, half marathon, a 10K, and a 5K. That's going to happen on Saturday, October 10th. Registration will open soon. Stay tuned here and on kmxt.org for more information. Well, our local election day is Tuesday, October 6th. But you could be voting right now. In order to ensure social distancing and reduce crowding at the precincts, the Kodiak Island Borough is making early voting available from now through October 5th, the day before Election Day. Early voting is very similar to voting at your polling precinct on Election Day. You'll be verified at the time, and you'll be given a ballot to feed into the voting machine. And just a reminder, as we learned recently, the difference between early voting in person and absentee in person voting is that your early voting vote will be counted on Election Day, whereas your absentee vote will be counted a week later. So keep that in mind. The Parks and Recreation Advisory Board will hold a meeting tonight. That meeting will begin, October 6th. So in 1 week, that meeting will begin at 12 p.m. and be held at the Baranoff Park Meeting Room. It's open to the public, and for more information, call the Parks and Rec office at 486-8670.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day,
Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.